delighted. I'm delighted to be sharing God's word with you today. And for the recording, this is Mary Ellen Saunders, and I'm sharing God's word at Faithful in Christ Ministries Women's Day, November 7th, 2020. And we are on Zoom. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share from God's word. And I want to begin with a word of prayer. Lord, I ask that you would be with me, that you would be with each one of us, that you would protect my words and they would reach hearts, that you would be at work and we would be protected from any interference, whether it be technical or anything else, and that we would hear your heart this day in your son's name. Amen. Well, as Elizabeth so wonderfully shared, I probably could say, oh, Elizabeth said it all. But our theme for this day is gratitude and thanksgiving. And our theme verses are Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. And I will be reading from the King James Version, but follow along in whatever version that you have. The title of my sharing is Gratitude, the Key to Finding and Maintaining God's Presence and Peace, Regardless of the Circumstances. It bridges the gap between what I see and what God sees. And today we'll look at, well, what is gratitude and its role in helping us perceive God's peace and presence, as well as how we can help each other grow in the practice of being grateful, especially in difficult circumstances. According to the dictionary, gratitude is a state of being grateful or thankful. It's more than just a list of things that I mentally assent to. It's a state of being. And you might ask, and I ask myself, what is a state of being? Well, it's how I am in this moment. It does involve my thoughts, but it also includes my emotions and what I'm feeling in my physical body. I feel gratitude when I experience, you know, an unexpected blessing. I need something and I get that need met in some unexpected way. I'm like, oh, wow, God, you are so cool. Or sometimes it's something just really simple, like the taste of a particular food that I am eating for breakfast or my coffee in the morning. It just blesses me and I go, oh, God, you are here. Thank you so much. And I just savor that goodness. Or it can be something beautiful in nature that I notice and I marvel at. It's the smile of a child or light streaming through a window. Now, I'd like just to take a moment for each of us to remind ourselves of something that we are truly grateful for and notice what gratitude feels like in our bodies. So I'd like to invite you just to take a moment. Just perhaps ask the Lord to bring to mind the last time you really felt grateful for something, what that felt. I know my oatmeal this morning is coming to mind. You know, just something simple. Just remember how it felt, what you saw, what you heard, what you tasted or smelled. Just what that sense of gratitude really feels like. And how it contributes to your sense of peace. You know, what emotions were you feeling in that moment? And I know when I take a moment to reflect on something I'm truly grateful for, and kind of really get into it and experience the moment, immediately, if I'm feeling anxious about anything, it's okay. And God's word actually affirms that the things that truly bless us are his signature. It says, hey, I'm here. And I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 14. And in verse 15. The context is Barnabas and Paul had been preaching God's word and healing, and the people had been Gentiles. They had no knowledge of the one true God, and they saw all this healing, and they thought, oh my goodness, these are gods come down from heaven. And Paul and Barnabas are saying, no, why are men Why are you doing this? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all things that are in them. And verse 16, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. But verse 17, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You know, that those simple things, he's let those good things let us know that he is here. And in fact, they are remnants of Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, when God surveyed all of his work and said, and saw everything that he had made. Indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. These moments of gratitude are meant to heighten our sense of God's immediate presence and working right here, right now. We know from many places in God's word that his presence and peace are key to hearing his voice, to getting his perspective on a situation, and knowing what he would have us do right here, right now. There are many practices that support our living in God's peace and presence. And as I worked on the sharing, it became increasingly clear to me how important practicing gratitude is as we seek to consistently sense God's peace and provision, especially in difficult circumstances. The Old and New Testament give us lots of examples where people didn't sense God's peace and presence and responded in ways that were not of God and had disastrous consequences, case in point, Adam, or at the very least were not how they would have wanted to react, such as Peter, denying Jesus three times in that night before the crucifixion. It is moments like challenging circumstances that it is especially difficult to notice gratitude. And I notice that that is not typically what I think of tapping into. I think if I go to God's word, I speak in tongues. But as I worked this teaching, I increasingly saw practicing gratitude even in those situations. And we'll get to the how of that in a little bit. Just really makes a difference. And, you know, the most challenging situations are those when we're feeling attacked on every side, whether it be personally or our family or our community or our country. It can be hard to know, is it time to flee as Joseph did while taking Mary and Jesus to Egypt when Herod was planning to kill all of the children 2 years old and younger? Or is it time to stay put and watch God work? And I'll give you the reference for this. If you look in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 to 17, Israel was facing an army invading, and they were like, "Oh, we got to get out of here. There's no way we can stand against them." But God said, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift." And they fled, and they were swift, and they were, the consequences were disastrous. So those times of attack are really difficult. Times of temptation can be really difficult to tap into gratitude. We know God promises a way of escape. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 13 is a wonderful chapter, but that is not where I want to go. Chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And in the verses before that, God has Paul summarized many, many situations where people did not seek him, and in their temptation, and there were dire consequences. And I wanted to point out the verse right before verse 13. Sometimes one of the most times when we can fall for our temptation is when we think we've got it. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So often when we think we've beat something, we think we know what to do, we go into that situation only to fall again and have the same dire consequences. We can begin to lose heart. When we're in situations where we're feeling attacked and it goes on for a really long time, it can be really, really hard to keep God's peace, keep God's presence, and keep God's encouragement and his, that he's there, that he is compassionate, he will be with us, and he will prevail. But thankfully, God did not leave us without an answer for this season of discouragement. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 27. And again, here I was really and in Psalm 27, David gives us a tool that he used to keep himself motivated in the long season, that 15 years or so between the time he was anointed king and becoming king. So verse 13, he said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, both in the short and the long term, our moments of gratitude throughout the day help us experience the goodness of God in the land of the living right now. And that gives us patience to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Now, was David perfect? No. But he modeled stopping, acknowledging where he was, and looking to God to help him get back up and keep moving forward, and then write Psalms about his experience to help others get through similar circumstances. And I'd like to turn to our theme verses in Philippians. And I'd especially like to highlight Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where Paul gives us a fuller description of the how of finding the Lord's presence and peace. Once we have done verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Get clear about what your situation is, prayer, what you need, supplication, or what you think you need. And then look for things to be thankful for in the midst of whatever is going on. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And in challenging circumstances, when we need his guidance the most, sometimes verses 6 and 7 just aren't enough. And so Paul says, okay, let me tell you more. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And in challenging situations, we sometimes need this very direct question, guidance, and I think of them as questions. Well, okay, what is true in this situation? It can be pretty horrible, but I can remember God always wins, and we have lots of Psalms that show us that. What is noble? Oh, okay, God, what is the noble thing to do here? And so on. And as we meditate on these things, as we ask ourselves these questions, okay, what is true here? what would be the just thing here? Is there anything that is just? What is the just thing that I can do? Is there anything that's pure here? Is there anything that's lovely here? Is there anything that of good report? Is there anything virtuous? Is there anything praiseworthy? Focus on that, and that, and the God of peace will be with you. And we see lots of examples of how important this peace is in the Old Testament to hearing God's voice and getting his guidance. Think of the story of Elijah in First Kings chapter 19. You know, he only heard God's guidance when he was able to calm down and be quiet and hear the whisper of God. And then once we have experienced this, it's really important for us to share the difference that gratitude made. And verse 9 speaks to this: those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This verse 9 really speaks to our role in helping each other grow in the skill. Paul was undoubtedly referring to how he handled situations they were in together. He would realize he'd lost his peace, lost God's perspective. He'd take a minute to stop, to quiet, to notice where he is, okay, because God always typically gets us to notice, where are we? What, I'm freaking out here. Calm down, take a breath, just speak in tongues, and then look for answers to the things listed in verse 8 that demonstrate God's presence, and talked about them to the group, and then consciously invited the Lord to give them his perspective on the situation. What powerful learning this, there would go on as people went from freaking out to peace in a situation. And sometimes I'm sure these things were going on instantaneously, like if you wouldn't slow down and stop, but sometimes I can imagine it would. And then later, Paul undoubtedly told stories of seeking God's peace and perspective through gratitude, through prayer, and people saw great results. And God gave me my own little personal example of that. Hey, this stuff works. I was having a phone conversation with someone earlier this week, and many of you know in the United States, it's been quite heated, our political situation here. And I could sense this person getting very anxious, and I was like getting overwhelmed myself. And I was speaking in tongues, and I'm like, okay, God, what do I say? What do I do that helps here? And I remembered what this teaching that I was working on, and I looked out the window and just saw a beautiful blue sky and the light shining against the trees with no leaves, and it was just beautiful. It took my breath away, and I went, "You're here, God." And I just calmed immediately in that moment, and then he gave me the perfect answer to calm the situation, to help her come to peace, that yes, no matter who won this election, God was still on the throne, and he would prevail, and he is sovereign, and he will take care of us. I thought it might also bless you to know that science is now able to document that gratitude and peacefulness are tied to greater creativity and higher performance that leads to better outcomes, especially in stressful situations. Since the 1990s, they've learned how to monitor what's going on in our brain when we're doing different tasks or we're faced with different situations. And when we're freaking out, our brains are when we are peaceful and calm, the parts of our brain that do only higher level thinking and creative thinking are lit up, and we're not distracted by all the noise and input that does not serve us but only lead to confusion. And so I thought it was really interesting that science is finally catching up with what God has told us a long time ago. So to summarize, I'd like to encourage you to build a practice of gratitude, of really feeling it, not just things I can check off in my mind, but really feeling it each day, looking for whatever God has placed in our life that is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Is there anything that's of good report, anything virtuous? If there's anything praiseworthy, to meditate on these things. Gratitude is such a practical bridge to help fill that gap between where we are and where God is and what he is doing and what he would have us do or not do. Gratitude is the key to bringing God's peace and therefore his solutions into the world. And thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you this day. And I wish you God's peace.
Great. Thank you very much, Marianne. That was wonderful.